Pastor Stephanie Page, and this is
Joe Nathan Lee Page. What's up, y'all?
And we are the Pages, and this is the Page to Speak. Listen, yes. As you're coming on this evening, share, 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 share. And if your pastors, ministers, friends that are in ministry, listen, you need to tag them, because this is a discussion that we all need to have.
Come on,
so
now.
Share, like, and subscribe our YouTube channel, The Pages Speak, and like our Facebook page, The Pages Speak. And it's all kinds of wonderful discussions we have. And if it's anything that you want to talk about, feel free. Drop us a message, drop us a line. Nothing is off limits. Anybody will tell you, we ain't scared of anything. So if you have not, I just want to take a moment. If you have not yet purchased the book, please purchase my book, Gracefully Losing My Religion.
Yeah.
It is located. You can purchase it at Barnes & Noble as well as on Amazon. Pick up a copy. Again, it'll challenge you to look at things in a much different way. Gracefully Losing My Religion, Journey to Love Without Limits. So again, give you all a few minutes. We got a couple minutes here. Please share this live. Share this.
Share it.
Share, share, share. And tag a pastor that you know. Tag a friend that's in ministry that you know. Tag your apostles. Tag your prophets. Tag your evangelists. Tag your pastors and your teachers. Pass your friends. Tag your bishops. Pastors, the suffragists, everybody. This is something that needs to be talked about. So tonight, in case you have not noticed, I am so excited.
Wow.
Ask me why.
That's a lot of excitement.
Ask me why. Ask me why.
Why are you so excited?
I am excited because one of my favorite people in the entire world.
Our favorite.
Well, I'm claiming her as mine. One of my favorite people in the entire world. She's my spiritual mother. She's just absolutely awesome, beautiful, wonderful teacher, just advisor, prophet, encourager, absolutely awesome. So it is our pleasure to invite to the Page to Speak our wonderful spiritual mother, Dr. Cheryl Piscopo.
Woo-hoo!
Wow.
Yeah.
Who is that woman? I want to meet her.
Did I mention humble? Incredibly humble and loving.
Yeah.
Well, I am so honored to be here and so excited too, just because I love you both so much. And this is exciting. What a fantastic podcast. It is awesome. This is very, very excellent. Very proud of you guys. Awesome, awesome.
Thank you so much.
And Bishop sends his love and wishes he could do this also, but he is indisposed at the moment.
So please keep our Bishop Jerry Piscopo in prayer. We love him. He's so strong. And again, loving. They are both. They're one of a kind, two one of a kind.
Two one of a kind people.
Two just,
of one of a kind.
Yeah.
That's one. Come on.
Thank God there could be two and one of a kind.
Awesome. Awesome. So tonight we're talking about a subject that many of us need to talk about, and it's just pastoring through it. Many people in ministry, you know, we minister to others, we love others. When you are a servant of God, you tend to give and you give and you're there. But sometimes you're dealing with stuff yourself, and you have to continue to pastor, even though sometimes you're dealing with hurt or grief and or disappointment or heaviness or confusion and, you know, coronavirus, all kinds of things. And just, but you have to continue to move and pastor through it. So I'm just so excited to have Dr. Cheryl just to give us some, just give us some words of wisdom. How do we pastor through it?
Well, you know, when it comes to pastoring, I think you have to know, first of all, that that's really what you're called to do.
the moment. Ooh.
I see it so often. People just suddenly, I want to pastor a church. I'm starting a church. And I don't know if they think, wow, I'll just get this church and open the doors and people just pile in. I don't know what they think. But you have to totally be called of God because, well, I love how this guy puts it. He said, when you pastor, you instantly have a lesson in managing and overcoming frustration. That is the truth.
Right.
You know? It is frustrating. It's very rewarding. I wouldn't want to be doing anything else. I love God's people. I love all the people. But I think we have to know we're called. And then you have to love people. I find that quite often. Pastors that have said to me, I really don't like people. You're in the wrong field.
Wow.
Because you have to love people. You have to accept people. And so it gets difficult. It starts out smooth. Sometimes it starts out rocky from the beginning. But I think when you know you're called, it is one of the greatest opportunities and lessons that we learn in our walk with God. Pastoring, it's a calling first. And Jesus has to be the center focal point for your life, for their lives, for every person you come into contact with. So, you know, that's one thing I would tell people immediately. Expect to be frustrated. Expect to be disappointed. Expect to be hurt. Expect to be betrayed. All that good stuff. And again, you get through it. When you know you're called, I don't know, when I look back through the years, I think we were only in ministry the first year, I think. And at that time, there was a gentleman that worked alongside of us, but he just didn't think women had a place in pastoring. They were just supposed to be that sweet little helpmate of their husbands. And, I don't push my way in. I don't, I just, wherever I'm needed, that's where I want to work. And so he just thought he could push me out of the way and pastor the church with Bishop. And, at first I didn't even know what was happening. Oh. And then Bishop spoke up and he said, at that time he said, brother, he said, you are dispensable. My wife is not dispensable. She is not a helpmate only. She's the co-pastor here.
Yeah.
And that really taught me a lesson that you've got to be working in unity constantly with your mate. When you're co-pastoring, that has to be understood by both of you. You have to know you're called to. So that's the first thing I would say. Got to know that calling. I'm not saying we're ready for it the minute we walk into it. Lord knows.
Right.
But it's the kind of journey that develops.
Mm-hmm.
And develops you over time. So.
Yeah.
I'm gonna ask a question, how did you keep your hair? I lost mine while I'm doing it.
What?
How did you keep your hair? Because I lost mine while I was I lost.
Listen, during COVID,
I lost all my youth.
COVID, when it first came out, when COVID hit in March of 2020, that's when I caught it.
Wow.
Bishop got it. Okay. And nobody knew what it was. I called every doctor I could find, tried to get a test at every hospital. They couldn't give you a test. They couldn't tell you what it was. All I knew is it was like no other flu bug I'd ever had.
Wow.
And one of the results was my hair broke off.
Oh, wow.
I was losing hair and I was like, oh my God. But I could see where you can lose your hair. It is. It's very nerve-wracking, frustrating, but it's so, you've been there already. It's rewarding. You feel like you're pleasing God, and that's the only thing that matters.
you know, you said something, you have to know that you're called.
Yeah.
And I was always somewhat confused by people that, oh, I want to be who I want to be, because we were sort of running from it. We're like, that's
thank you.
We were sort of running from it, and God was steady calling, and we were like, looking at you, look over your shoulder, who you talking to?
Confirming.
But he lets you know, and it's something that you talked about. You have to have a heart for ministry and for people. Because a lot of times, you know, people get into pastoring for the wrong reason.
Oh,
they get into it for the recognition, they get into it for the popularity, they get into it for, oh, I just want to be looked up to, and I want to tell people what to do. And
money,
it's so
that blows my mind. Money,
yeah,
they get into it because
money.
They think it's, they just, that's amazing.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
And those are the kind of people that not only do, those are the ones that hurt others when they get into
they
it.
They hurt the whole ministry. Yeah.
And then they also, in a sense, hurt the ones that get into it for the right reasons,
mm-hmm.
because you know, those who get into it because they're called and because they love people, because people are so used to being manipulated for one thing or another, then the ones that are just loving them unconditionally mm-hmm. tend to get sort of walked on or stepped on sometimes. So how do you do that? How do you deal with it when people sometimes abuse those in ministry?
A lot of times people do that. A lot of times there are, you and I both know the people that have, you know, just exploited ministry, churches. And a lot of times people have a bad taste in their mouth, especially in the society today. People have a bad taste in their mouth about church, about ministers, about pastors. And you can just see it. They roll their eyes or, you know, they just like, oh, you go to church. Doesn't even have to be any particular church. Oh, you go to church, you know. And what I find is I just try to love people. That's the thing I think that has hit me the hardest in learning is God's shown me just love. You want to slap people sometimes. I call it a spirit of slap comes on me, but you can't, you just have to love them.
Yeah.
And that's why Jesus commanded us. He said, love one another. He didn't say, this is a suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say, you know, if you feel like it, he said, you got to love. Mm-hmm. And I can see why there is a lot of times it's really hard to love some people. They are not nice. They are not kind. They take out on you, you know, everything they're frustrated about in their lives. But I find you just love on them, you know. I've had, you know, I went out with our evangelism team the other day, and we use the Luke 10 method to evangelize, which is you look for a person of peace that needs healing. You look for people that are on walkers or, you know, maybe they need a healing touch to open the door for evangelism.
Mm-hmm.
But what I found is as I went out with the team, every person, we went into the Walmart and I was shocked, quite frankly, at how many Christians were in that store.
Mm-hmm.
I think I found two unsaved people to talk to.
Wow.
Every person that I would walk up to and say, hey, you know, I'm just in the area today. I'm a local pastor and I wanted to find out, would you like prayer for anything? Every one of them, they were Christians and they were struggling and they were going through divorce. They were going through separations. They were mm-hmm. in difficult situations. They did need healing. But it just blew my mind how all these people are Christians. This store should be totally evangelized in 10 minutes because there's so many, but mm-hmm. people are so wounded in the body.
Yeah.
They're not sharing anything. They're hurt, they're angry, they're frustrated, they're wounded. And it's like, wow, that just blew my mind. Because I prayed with at least 20 some people in that store in 2 hours. And every one of them, maybe one, I led to the Lord. The rest, it was recommitments, recommitments. I have to give my life back to the Lord. And I was just like, wow, we are missing it in the church.
Oh.
You know? So one gentleman looked at me and he goes, I don't go to church. And I said, I can appreciate that. He said, you can. I said, yeah. I said, because the church is not a building. And he goes, what are you talking about? I said, I'm the church. Mm-hmm. And when you love Jesus Christ, you're the church.
Yeah.
I said, so let's not talk about going anywhere. Let's just talk about, how about a relationship with Jesus?
Yeah.
That just opened all kinds of doors.
Yeah.
Open. Because he didn't feel pressured to have to go somewhere and do something and be something.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm just blown away because we're missing it in the building. A lot of pastors and ministers, if they would just read their word, if they would spend time with Jesus and they have a relationship,
yeah,
they would reach all kinds of people.
Yes.
And I minister to a lot of pastors on a regular weekly basis. I am blown away because I'll say, okay, what's your prayer time like? What's your word time? Oh, I talk to the Lord all day long. Okay, that sounds great. But can you survive on talking to apostle all day long? You need intimate one-on-one time. Can you survive apostle talking to apostle Stephanie, you know, on a chat? No, we need intimacy. We need one-on-one. We need to know Jesus.
Yeah.
It's interesting because that's why the church is so disconnected.
Yes.
The leadership needs an intimate, intense relationship with the Lord.
I would always say that, you know, a lot of times pastors, you know, they're shepherds.
Yes.
And how can a shepherd shepherd from on top of a mountain when his sheep are in the valley? Are you going to just yell down at the sheep to tell them what to do?
Right.
Or are you going to have to come down to where they are, get involved with their issues, get involved with their business without necessarily beating them up? A lot of times, you know, we hear about the rod and the staff, but the rod and the staff was not to beat the sheep. You know, the staff was to pull them out of situations and the rod was to beat off the wolves. So, you know,
good,
you take that rod to beat the sheep, and then you wonder why the sheep are not trying to come around, you know, to even be
shepherded,
you know, because they sort of missed the point. Just like they need a relationship with Jesus, we within the body have to be able to develop relationships one with another and really learn how to be a family and learn how to really, you know, love and honor one another. And it really starts, you know, with us. But a lot
and
of
there's
time,
so much hurt in the church.
Yes.
Everybody's got church hurt and wounding. And I'm so glad that we're a house of restoration. That's what Evangel's always been. That's what will always be, a restoration house.
Yes.
Healing hurts. And the key is loving people when they're not lovable.
Oh.
Helping them get their healing. Helping them get set free from their bondages.
Yes.
You're absolutely right.
Yes.
And the church has to have it first.
Yes.
The church has to have it.
How do we survive? Because a lot of pastors, like she said, preach from a mountaintop. They preach from a distance.
Oh.
They interact from a distance. Most times they're wounded from something that the sheep has done. And the only way they can keep their what they think is keeping their position is to keep their distance because they don't want to be rejected or hurt. So how do you get beyond that point to get that, back into the trenches?
That has been the challenge, but I'll tell you what. We went through a horrendous time in our ministry 25 years ago. I mean, it was hell. And God taught me such a lesson about love, acceptance, and forgiveness. Yeah. And there was a person who had done really a lot of damage to the ministry, to us. And I learned through that the power of forgiveness.
Yeah.
That was incredible in my life. I swore I would never forgive this person. God and I had several arguments. My spiritual father said to me, you know, I'm not worried about Bishop. He forgives. He does. My husband, if he could get Satan saved, he'd go down to hell and get him saved. But it was me, and my hurt, my anger was really not anything the person had done to me. It was third party unforgiveness. She had hurt my family, my husband.
Yeah.
And I would say to God, you know, just kill her. Take her, let her be saved first, you know. And, you know, I mean, it was awful. And my spiritual father said to me, you got to get this right, because this is serious and could cost you your salvation. That is what hit me. I went to prayer and I said, God, I don't want this. You got to teach me how to forgive, and you got to heal me, because I'm so broken. I don't want to do this anymore. I just want to go get a regular day job, whatever. And one night, you know, I just wanted this person off the face of the earth. One night, I'm leaving the church building. It's like midnight. Someone pulls up behind my car and blocks me in. Now my heart's beating really fast. I'm thinking, oh my God, I can't get back in the church. It's locked. What am I going to do? I jump in my car and I lock the door. So I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden this person jumps out of their car, comes to the side of my car door, screaming and sobbing, I'm sorry for what I did. You have to forgive me. I have been miserable for 10 years. I just want to die, blah, blah, blah. I look out and it's the person. I jump out of the car. I fall on the ground with them. I'm holding them in my arms and I'm rocking them going, it's going to be okay. I freeze because I'm like, what are you doing? And all of a sudden, the Lord speaks to my heart. Now I'm sobbing. She's sobbing. And the Lord said, so you really want her dead?
Oh.
No, God, oh my God. I'm sobbing, crying. And it was such an incredible experience with the Lord, with her. And after that, it was like, I could forgive. I could forgive people. I could forgive. It hurts. Things hurt. You're going to hurt. But when you see the power of forgiveness, to set you free, not even about the person. That's how I started to overcome, you know, that's how I overcame that and being able to press on in ministry. Because I truly was ready to say, okay, you know what, hon, you do this. I'm going to get something that I don't have to work so hard at being nice, you know. And yeah. So it saved. It saved everything. God moved. And that person is thriving today. They're moving and shaking in the Lord and happy. We're thriving. Forgiveness. That is the key. That is so key. When you're in ministry, when you're even just in everyday life, forgiving. That's how you press through. That's how you get past it. And you don't get a chance to, you know, that's the one thing is leaders, and you know this, but you can be going through a horrendous thing. You don't get a break from being a pastor and a leader to go deal with this thing over here. You've got to kind of flow, and only Jesus and the Holy Ghost can get you through that.
Mm-hmm.
So I love the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
I feel he's a neglected party. And I just feel like that's what I pull on all day long.
All the time. All the time. We have a couple of questions.
Yeah.
One of them, can you attempt to explain the selflessness it takes to walk out the role of a pastor?
It is selflessness. But you know what? Now, I don't know, this might help. I teach people, when you walk with Jesus, he does not become another spoke on your wheel.
Mm.
He becomes the center of your wheel.
Mm.
And everything in your life is the spoke.
Mm-hmm.
So your kids are a blessing, your mate's a blessing, your job's a blessing, your calling's a blessing. Your everything is on the spokes, but when he gets into the center of you, you just don't matter that much anymore. Not that you don't care about yourself, not that you don't take care of yourself, but you don't become the most important person in your world. I think that's a problem.
It's like, let that mind which was in Christ Jesus be in you. And the selflessness is, you know, it's actually a faith stance.
Yeah.
You know, when you know that God's got you and that God loves you, you can seek the kingdom. Everything else gets added unto you.
That's right.
You don't have to focus on what am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? What am I going to wear? Because my Father knows what I stand in need of. And if he's called me to this, he's going to give me everything I need
to get you through this.
So a lot of times it's not so much a selflessness as much as a submission and a faith in God's love.
Focus on him.
Yes, God's love for you. And he's called you to it. He's going to give you everything you need to do it. And sometimes you do have to, you know, like you said, tuck your ego aside. Like when the lady came to your car, you had to bring your ego's like, give her, you know? And God was like, no, you love her. So, you know, you have to allow God to even overthrow
your ego. And you have to believe that God is really in control.
Yes.
I don't think people believe that.
Mm.
Like you said, your faith. But faith and trust in God, who really does exist.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just lip service.
Exactly.
You can turn, you know, Bishop's been very ill. I have had to literally time and time again say, okay, God, you're in control. God has spoken to us so often, he's gonna be fine.
Mm.
I have to keep reminding myself because sometimes it doesn't look like he's so fine.
Mm.
And just, nope, God is in control. God is in control. That's what I literally, and in the Hebrew, it's Hashem. Hashem is in control.
Yeah.
I believe that now. I drum it into the people, into myself. Every day we wake up, Hashem is in control. I don't care what it looks like. We got to stop walking with these natural eyes on everything and listen in the Spirit, hear the Holy Spirit. And when he talks, listen and do. And you're absolutely right. You said something one time, and I've just used it as a word to everybody, especially during the elections. It was insanity.
Mm-hmm.
But people were so strung out on the natural and so strung out on this Republican thing and Democrat thing. And you said to me, I have a perfect answer for that. I pledge allegiance to the kingdom of God. And that has been my motto for everybody. I pledge allegiance to the kingdom of God because we have to come together and be one. We have to be united. This junk of left, right, it's junk. And if the body would stop and unite under the banner of the kingdom, we would get so far.
Yes.
To get people to truly trust Jesus.
Yes.
Would be one. We have to get one. Yes. And so that is excellent, because when you two say it's the kingdom, that's all it really is about, the kingdom, what God wants us to do. Yes. I'm not here to build Cheryl's kingdom, Jerry's kingdom. We don't have one.
Mm-mm.
We're here to build the kingdom of God.
That's it.
I get really frustrated with ministers and pastors today who think that just because God gives them some new big huge house or big fancy car, it's always God.
Mm.
Maybe it's not God.
Mm.
I don't know. It got to where for a while I thought, is there something wrong with us? Because we live in a little house, little condo. We just drive a normal car. And please hear my heart. Anybody that gets a Mercedes, a Rolls Royce, whatever they got, God bless them.
Mm-hmm.
But when that becomes a focus instead of what God wants you to do next in the kingdom,
that's right.
I got some issues with that.
Yes.
And I'm tired of hearing pastors tell me, God opened a door. I got a brand new this. I got a brand new that. I got a this or that. And there's like two of them. And they need a 10,000 square foot house for two people. Okay, is it God? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
When you tell me you've got 10 other people you're bringing in to house and take care of, okay, that could be God.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, no, come on. It's not about houses, cars, clothes, influence, big names. It is about the kingdom. And if we can unite under that, wow, we could take the universe for God.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're stronger together.
Yeah.
There's a lot of power. We get together. Yes. We are in one mind, one accord.
Yeah.
And others in one spirit. And that's the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
And when we understand that, when we come together, the power is really what God wants us to do.
Honestly,
a family.
That's it.
A family.
That's it.
You know, there's no big eyes, no little U's.
Exactly.
Us. You know, cousin and them.
Yeah, we are family. We're all under the same roof.
Right.
That's true.
Yes.
And that's what the world needs to see.
Yes.
Because if you see the church disjointed and disconnected and all fragmented, all
hello, prophet.
Why you want to be a part of that? It's gangsters that got families.
Truly.
You got all kinds of people that got families, and we can't come together and be as one. Oh, come on. There's something wrong with that.
We have to come together. I don't care what we look like. We have to come together and be one. He said it in John 17.
That's the goal. That's the goal. That we would be one.
That we would be one.
And that's another thing, is even talking about pastoring through it. Many times the reasons why leaders go through so many issues is because they have not come to the understanding that we are one, and we should be able to depend on one another throughout the entirety of the ministry. Mm-hmm. We have all splintered off into so many different sections, and this is my church and my people, and all of us are the kingdom of God. To mm-hmm. whereas we, and then there's this competition
mm-hmm.
to whereas we can't support one another. Even as we're going through the different issues, we don't share. Let me tell you, I had to deal even with Joe at this point, because there are times when I'll hear things, right? I'll say something, I'll teach something, and I hear somebody else say it. And Joe said, "You were just teaching that." I said, "You know, it's all rights reserved with the Holy Ghost. If he gave it to me, it's for the body. And if they're using it for the body, then that's what it's meant for. It doesn't belong to me."
True.
The word belongs to God. All rights reserved in the Holy Ghost. All rights reserved in the kingdom of God. And so, but that takes you moving your ego out the way.
A desire
for credit, a desire for recognition, the desire for popularity, and just desire the kingdom to go for the most popular one to be Jesus, for the ruler to be God as King, and for a Holy Ghost to be the unifying factor throughout the entire body of Christ.
Right.
So if we're ever able to do that, it'll be much easier for us to go through different trials, Because if we're really operating in love, really loving not only the flock, but loving one another, how about pastors really loving one another? How about, you know, evangelists, prophets, apostles really loving one another? To whereas, you know, listen, I'm having a hard time. Can you come over here and speak to my flock? I need to rest. Okay. And I'm not trying to snatch your sheep. I'm just coming to support you, my sister and brother, because we're all in the same team. We're all in the same family. We're all.
I just did that for one of our pastors of another church. I went in and helped because she needed rest. I didn't talk about my church. Mm-mm. I didn't talk about me. I talked about what Jesus wants them to do.
Yeah.
Prophet Ray is on. I love that man. Yeah. He just said something powerful. He said, all things common.
Absolutely.
We got to learn to do that in the church.
Yeah.
Now you're talking about leaders. You're absolutely right. They don't belong to us. We don't belong to us. Yeah. Everything belongs to Jesus.
Yeah.
I'll never forget when we created the Deliverance and Inner Healing Seminar.
Yeah.
So someone said, oh, you got to copyright it. You got to copyright it. And I said, why? And they said, because other people will take it and use it. Good.
Exactly.
And so Bishop said, this isn't ours anyway. God gave it to us. So it doesn't belong to us.
Exactly.
And if we can use it. So have I seen our worksheets from the seminar in other people's books? Yeah. Do I care? No.
No.
Because they belong to God. And if they're helping people, what do I care? We don't even do that in the church. We got brothers and sisters sitting next to us on Sundays who don't have food. Are we saying, let me take you out for dinner? Let me buy you some groceries. So we do it. I believe the apostle, it comes from the top down. We got to hear it from the top down. So I've had people say, we come into your church, it is so loving. That's a good sign. That means we're loving.
Yes.
It's just like your kids. Your kids are a reflection of you.
Yes.
And so your people are going to be a reflection of you.
Yes.
I'm a reflection of my leader, my father and mother in the Lord. It just works its way down. And you're absolutely right. We got to take care of one another. We got to be one. We got to look across the aisle and say, what can I do to help? Do you need me to babysit? Do you need me to take you to the store? Do you need me to? Oh, my word. And if we'll do that, then guess what? The people will go out and do it.
Yeah.
And then leaders won't feel like, oh, you're trying to listen. If leaders would get off of their butts and go win souls, we'd fill up every church in America.
Yeah.
We wouldn't have to worry about you stealing my sheep. They're not your sheep.
They
belong to God.
Exactly.
And sometimes, you know, this was another lesson I had to learn. It was hard. I would get so hurt and offended when people would leave.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't leave to like be, you know, upset. They would leave because they were going somewhere else or doing. And I would get so, and finally God said to me one day, he goes, did you train them? Yeah, that's why I'm upset. He said, no, did you train them?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He said, well, they got to go out and use what they've learned. And they're going to use it in your house.
Yeah.
You already taught them how to do it.
Yeah.
Go out there and use. And so I've had pastors from other denominations in this whole area go, you guys really train so-and-so. They're part of us. And man, they just are rolling. I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool. I don't go getting mad like, yeah, you stole our sheep. How ridiculous. So it's a lesson though.
Mm-hmm.
Pastors get wounded. We get wounded too.
Yeah.
It hurts.
Yeah.
But see, if you have that relationship with Jesus and you're listening, he brings you through that and you learn something.
Yes.
So.
Yes, and Prophet Ray, I'm one of those people too. We were trained right. Again, that's exactly what we do. We train them to send them to because again, the kingdom has to be advanced. We had another question from, and I want to get to it. His name was a young man named Kayvon. He had another question in there. I can't find it. Okay. What expectations do you have of what pastoring, what expectations do you have of what pastoring should look like when you were first called? And how did those expectations change over time?
I have to giggle. it is a common, not joke, but a giggle between Bishop and I, because when we first started pastoring, I always dreamt of a little country church with a white picket fence. And I said, now that would be fun, you know. Oh my God, nothing near that ever. Expectations, I think we have them. I think everybody has expectations no matter what you get into. When we were first called, you know, we were just going to go conquer the world. Mm. You know, we were going to open up. In fact, to be honest with you, we weren't even planning to pastor. We were planning to evangelize, travel. Mm. We felt God had called us to travel and evangelize. We felt called to ministry for sure. But pastoring, nah. Well, then we lived in a condo, same size as the one we've lived in for 35 years. So we would have prayer meetings at our house. And it started with 3 of us. Then it grew to 10 of us. Then it grew to where we needed to put a seat. Well, at that time it was tapes. So we put a tape in so we could have some kind of worship to get started. Then it grew to, you know, 20. Then it grew to 30. And we were doing, you know, no teaching really, but laying out of hands and getting people set free. And people were all over my living room on the floor, screaming, crying, shouting. And it was a zoo, my house. Oh my God. It got up to 45 people. Yeah. And you've been to my condo. You can't fit 45 comfortably anymore. So I said, that's it. I got to have a house. I said, we need privacy. You got to get a church or something. You got to get a building. So Bishop started looking for a place, and we finally found a little place to rent. But never, you know, it was funny because when we even got the building, this pastor that rented to us, his intentions were totally honorable. He wanted to absorb us. But all we were was a prayer group. That's all he kept saying. We're just a prayer group. We're just a prayer group. And finally, he just yelled at us one day. He goes, you are a church. And we were like, oh my God, we don't want to be a church. And, you know, my husband just looked at me and he goes, I don't want to be a church. I don't want a pastor. I said, well, I certainly don't either. But when it's just like you said, when you're called, you don't really want it. Same thing with apostleship. People that just decide they're going to be apostles, they don't have a clue what that means. But when you step into that fivefold, you step into great responsibility. Mm. You step in, it's not promotion. Oh my God, we have to get this out of our brain.
Yes.
It is not promotion. It is literally stepping into greater responsibility and the fear of God that I got to do, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that. You just battle for a moment because it's so incredible. And not only the responsibility, you step into warfare like you have never experienced.
Yes.
And I think if more people realize that, they would not be so quick to run out and say, I'm Apostle so-and-so.
Oh my God. And you know, I hate that I have to wrap this up because we're out of time, but I did a teaching on that because you know me. I did a teaching on that. And it's like, people don't understand the role of the apostle. The reason why they say the apostles and the prophets go first, because the apostles are going to have to deal with the territory and all the demonic encroachment that's on the land. They are the sent ones. They go first. Yeah. And they have a lot of warfare they have to deal with. It's a lot of things that they, and people don't even understand.
No.
And that's why I'm like, no.
It's like, I know. Like, if you're like, normal, you're like, no.
I'm good.
Because like, they think it's promotion.
And it's not the promotion.
They think they're getting promoted. Mm-mm. They think they're becoming better than everyone else.
Mm-mm.
And it's not, it's responsibility and warfare.
Mm-mm.
And you become responsible for people's lives.
Yes.
You become responsible to take them where God's leading them, or you answer to God.
Yes.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. But we're going to have to do this again. You know, it's just been such a blessing just hearing and talking to you
guys.
I love you so much. Oh, my God.
I love
big people in the world.
We love you.
So much. I claim her. She's mine.
Tried to take you away from me. I'm not going to let her do it.
We love you guys.
We love you, too. Okay, so... Again, we're gonna schedule another one because we have to talk more.
Yeah, I'm gonna get the bishop on here. I love
it. Yes, we gotta get Bishop on. Okay. No, you don't, Ray. She's mine. Anyway, so next, thank you for joining the Page Speak. Now, next Thursday at 9 p.m., we're gonna have discussion. Can we just be friendly?
Yeah.
Can we just learn how to just be friendly?
And
a smile
kind.
Doesn't hurt you, people.
And kind.
So, let's just be friendly. So that's on next Thursday's show.
Awesome.
Until then, I'm Pastor Stephanie Page, and this is
Jonathan Lee Page.
We are the Pages Speak. We love you. Until next time. Bye. Subscribe. Bye-bye.
Yeah.